This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Suzanne takes you down to a place by the river. You can hear the boats go by.
Here we are at the Ark in Ann Arbor, Michigan, with Barb Chaffer-Authier, Marketing Director. What a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being here.
I came here 2015 and still savor my memories.
I'm so glad I remember you being here then. I was talking to our Managing Director. I'm like, God, Tom was here, you know, before.
Yeah,
it looks a little different than it did then.
I know. Tell us about some of the redo you've done here.
Yeah, absolutely. In 2015, when you were here, we were celebrating our 50th anniversary, and we were getting ready to do some renovations. And so in the last 5 years, we have renovated the upstairs space. The listening room looks pretty much like it did. We've got new lights and new sound in there, but we completely revamped our photo gallery in the main corridor and the concession area. And then just about a year ago, we finished construction on our entryway where we touch Main Street. And so it looks very different now. We're communicating what we do with this mural of past ARC performers on glass doors.
Okay, Barb, let's go back in time, because the ARC is a special place intertwined with Ann Arbor's 20th century history, anti-war days of Vietnam time.
That's right. The ARC was founded in 1965 by four area churches that were looking to have a community space, specifically more structured for students to have a place that they could come in, kind of get away from the conflict of the day, maybe deal with the issues that were going on in society in a calmer, more introspective way than being out and protesting, that there was a place for both of those ways of talking about the times. And so when it was established, it was not specifically a music venue.
So it really was almost like a coffee house.
Yes, it absolutely was a coffee house, like many across the country, where there were poetry readings, there were political discussions, and of course there was music, there was folk music. That was an important part of the kind of the culture of the time. But within probably about the first 3 years, the programming of the ARC shifted to be much more focused on folk music and really interested in traditional folk music. Over time, then that expanded to include a much larger range of what that genre encompasses.
As I travel around America over the years and I mention the ARC, it's like lighting people up. You know, they just glow and they go, oh my gosh, do you know who I heard there? Do you know who these people in Ann Arbor managed to attract to this little venue? Tell us about some of the Arlo Guthries and whatnot, some of the cool people that have come and performed here, even recent history.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, Arlo Guthrie, that's a great example, because he still comes to the ARC.
I heard he loves it here.
He loves it here. You know, he mostly does larger theaters when he performs these days, but he always makes time to come back to the ARC, because it's a place that he's been coming and he knows the importance of it in kind of the history of the kind of music that we present.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday.
You know, we've had folks like Judy Collins that comes to perform here, and
well,
Joan
Baez. Here comes your ghost again, but that's not unusual. It's just that
so those big folk names.
That's so cool, because again, a word picture about the venue. As I recall, the worst seat in the house is like 150 feet from the stage.
Oh, less than that, about 40 feet from the stage.
Really?
Yep.
The entire theater, that is brilliant.
Yeah, it's a 400-seat venue, but it feels so intimate. Most people never guess that that's how many we seat, because you really can feel like you're at the performer's feet. You know, you're right up close to the stage.
You pretty much are. Huh?
You really are. You really are. And that, and it's a different feeling for both the audience and the performers in that listening room. We have performers that talk about how different it is to perform here than other places that they perform, that the audience is listening. You know, there's nobody talking in the background. It's not a bar. It's a listening room. And it's a conversation that happens really between the artist and the audience.
What's a typical ticket cost?
We have kind of a range. Our base ticket price is, you know, kind of a typical show. You might pay $15 to $20 for a ticket. But we certainly have bigger names at Comet. They might have a $50 ticket.
Okay, so Arlo would be $50 probably.
Right, sure. Exactly, exactly. So, you know, the Taj Mahal comes and does a small, intimate concert. That's going to be a spendier show. But our ticket price range is from about $15 to maybe $50, $75 at the top end.
But that same performer in Detroit or Chicago would be a lot more.
It would be a lot more, and you'd be much farther from the stage. It wouldn't have that intimate feel.
The Arc really is and remains intertwined into the fabric of what Ann Arbor is.
Absolutely. I mean, we consider ourselves such a part of this community. We're right here in the heart of downtown, right on Main Street, in the center of everything. And we feel like we're, you know, we're an anchor here in the downtown community. So, you know, you can come down, you can have dinner in one of the many, many restaurants, and you're right here to take in a show.
Two doors away,
yeah, in fact. And, you know, we are not only a presenter of music, we're a venue, we're a presenter, but we're also a community organization, we're a nonprofit. So our mission is to present this music and to be a welcoming space for the community to come in and experience that.
But even today, you're not limited to music.
That's true. We have a storytelling festival.
Is that a part of the Moth? Do they come and record here?
We actually do have the Moth, their Grand Slam performance that they do each year. So once a year or twice a year, they come in and do a performance here.
So that's sell out for sure,
right?
Oh,
yeah. That sells out in a day. And then we also do, this year will be our 33rd year doing the ARCS Storytelling Festival.
Oh, when is that?
And that will be in February. It's usually in February or March. And we do one night that's more adult spoken word focused and one daytime show that's more kids family friendly.
And how do you curate? How do you source your storytellers?
Well, we work a lot with some local storytelling groups. The Ann Arbor Storytellers Guild gives us a lot of information about who's big in the storytelling community, and we try to have a mix of more traditional storytellers and sometimes draw from the Moth and like This American Life type of storytellers as well, because those are different kind of ends of the spectrum of storytelling as well. We always have a local storyteller.
I was going to say, one of the things I love about the Moth, it might be some woman that's never got up on a stage in her life.
Yeah, and they get up there and they just tell a story.
They rock.
Tell an experience. And yeah, it's fun.
I don't think I've ever listened to a bad Moth.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Never.
It's a great program.
It really is. And that's such a wonderful vestige of how society used to operate.
Yeah, handing down stories. I mean, it's the same thing as folk music. You're handing down this information. You're sharing and spreading a community experience.
And it's so interesting how you can't kill storytelling. It survived through every gauntlet.
Right.
Somebody, a historian the other day, was saying, when the printing press came out and they started printing stuff, there was a palpable fear in society that storytelling was going to become a dead art.
Yeah, wow, yeah. That's something. Yeah, you can see how, I mean, like talking movies and stuff, that's going to take away that personal connection that you get from, you know, live storytelling and live music.
And I think what it is, it's just a really primordial process that resonates with that primitive self.
Yeah.
around the campfire.
That's right. That's right.
Storytelling lasts forever, but I'm getting a little off track.
But, you know, like I said, it's very strongly tied together, the storytelling that is spoken word and storytelling that you find in folk music, singer-songwriters, you know, those people are telling a story.
They are
not just about the pop hook, which, of course, we love as much as anything else. You know, music is great whether there's a message or not, but the thing that really defines folk music is that message that you're the life experience that you're hearing in the lyrics.
Do you ever have, like my friend David Holt from North Carolina, who's a musician and a storyteller?
Oh yeah.
Do you ever have that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have usually at least one of the storytellers on the bill is someone that does a lot of storytelling through music. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something that we try to do, because obviously music is our thing.
Well, here we are, 2020. Yes. What does your playbook look like for the year?
Wow. Well, you know, we book on a rolling basis, so we don't book a season like a lot of performing arts presenters do. So we've got plenty of time to discover something new and want to present it. But we've got the Ann Arbor Folk Festival coming up at the end of January. That's our number one fundraiser of the year. We actually leave the confines of the Arc and we take it over to Hill Auditorium at the University of Michigan, a 3,000-seat venue instead of 400. Mm-hmm. That is an opportunity for us to present some big-name headliners and also introduce artists that are rising artists that are emerging on the scene, so a large audience can hear a few songs from them, and then they'll come back and play the Arc in the spring. Mm-hmm. And so you can come back and kind of we start to build an audience for these emerging artists that way.
So what you're saying is the Arc is very organic.
It is. It always has been. You know, we started as a very grassroots organization, and in many ways, even though we've been operating now for, we're going into our 55th year, we're still grassroots and organic. We're still finding out about new music through, you know, word of mouth and going to conferences where we hear somebody new and we say, yeah, let's bring it here.
Do you sometimes reach out unsolicited to recruit people to come here?
We do sometimes, yes. We work a lot with booking agents who obviously have their roster of artists that they're trying to put tours together for.
So I'd imagine that's really kind of the square one. They're constantly pounding on your door.
Right. Right. We get not only from the booking agents or artists that are signed to representation, we also get demos from people that maybe don't have representation yet, but are saying, hey, I want to play here.
Does that work sometimes and you get the hook bites?
It does. You know, we listen to all those demos and our program director and her committee will give them a rating and say, yes, this is the right fit for our venue. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes those folks will start out as opening for another artist. We also make it a point to book local and Michigan artists. So a certain percentage of our shows that we put on in a year are going to be local performers who may not be touring nationally.
You might even go across the border and recruit somebody from Wisconsin.
And Canada. Uh-huh. Canada's right over there. We get a lot of Canadian artists.
What did I miss? Secrets you want to share?
Oh, secrets of the Arc. Well, you know, this is a venue that, unless you experience it, it's hard to explain why it's so different. But I've been coming to the Arc since I was a college student, and I won't tell you how many years ago that was. But it's hard for me to go see a concert somewhere else now.
Because you're spoiled.
I am spoiled rotten because it is so intimate, and it's a wonderful place to hear and experience music. And every time it feels like you're in it together, you know, it restores your kind of feelings of hope in our society, because music can be very healing and very inspiring, and it brings people together.
Nice. Well, can't say it any better than you just did. That's great.
Thanks.
Barb Chapper, Authier, Marketing Director at the Arc. What a pleasure. I'm so glad you were here.
I'm so glad you came back.
Yeah.
Excited for you to see all the changes.
Well, email me when your next Joan Baez, wherever shows up. That's so cool.
Absolutely.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Ann Arbor, Michigan. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.